Oh, Foxy, it's your birthday. Not for real, just for play. This is Cree Summer, and Moana Nui will be right back.
Aloha, my kako. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's episode of the Moana Nui podcast. My name is Moana, and I'm excited to have all of you joining us tonight. Tonight, our topic, we are actually kicking off Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander Month, and this is our first panel that we will be presenting to all of you in this month of May. So shout out to all of our Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders and our Asian American allies. Let's see. So tonight we are talking about Mo'oku Auhau again, and we are doing a part two because this is such a topic that could go in many directions, just like our ancestors and our family lines. So last week we had a wonderful episode. Hopefully you all were able to tune into that. If you missed it, don't freak out. We have our recording, and you can find that on our YouTube channel. You can just look up Moana Nui Podcast and look up Mo'oku Auhau. It should be relatively towards the top because it goes by recent episodes. So check that out. But for the meantime, you are tuned into the right place. Our wonderful panelists have joined us back again. As you guys are engaging with us tonight, please feel free to drop your comments and questions into the chat, and we will pull them up as we're going throughout tonight's episode. We definitely want this to be engaging because we're trying to help our community get started. If you have not ever done your genealogy or your Mo'oku Auhau before, or even if you have, giving you additional resources for you to check out to help you navigate and broaden your ohana tree. With all that said, I'm going to bring our guests up because I know they're itching behind there to talk story some more. Dana and I are really grateful to have them back to join us. And so here we go. Aloha, Jeff. Kile. Salani. Mapuana. Aloha, no.
Aloha.
All right, Jeff, over to you.
All right. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to the Moana Nui podcast in consideration with Papalokahi. And obviously, it is AAPI month, Asian American Pacific Islanders, Native Hawaiian, part two series, the Mo'oku Auhau. We're just going to recap from last week a little bit, and then we're going to move forward with our guest speakers that we have on here. So I just want to turn it over for Kile, Kalani, and Mapuana, if you can just introduce yourself briefly to our audience.
Aloha, I'm Kile. Nice to see all of you here again.
Bye.
Aloha, I'm Mapuana.
Aloha, Kalani, over here.
And I'm Jeff.
We all stayed up late last night.
We did.
Well, for me, this morning.
Whatever.
If our audience has any questions, you guys can go ahead and comment, and we'll get to them and answer as best as we can. We're going to start off with, so last week, we started about introduction to your Mo'oku Auhau or your family genealogy. And our first question we're going to go over is, where do I start with my genealogy research?
Everybody got your books?
Gather all your information. Oh, yeah. We want to show our books. We want to show our books. Okay.
What? So
in my situation, each tablet is a line or a branch of my tree. Right. And that's how I keep record of as I go along, take my notes. So get all your information from your elders. Ask questions. Gather all the information you can, and you can hit the internet and start tapping away, looking up people, trying to find information on who they came from and their elders, who they were. And you can start to build your tree from all that information.
Like Mapuana said, with the books that we have written, you have tabs. Kalani, you got to show your tabs. But for the PC, we get all of that. And then another thing that you can do besides your books is pictures. Yeah. Pictures are a really important. Oh, where am I? pictures are really important too. Mm-hmm. So you just see the Kalani, what were you saying? The names, the dates,
the names are. and the dates. Identify all the people, because especially when that after you pass and if somebody inherits that, I inherited a lot of photos and I just don't know who these people are.
Who is who? Yeah. Yeah.
My husband too has a whole bunch of pictures. Sorry, Mapuana. Yeah. And yeah, we don't know who they are too. And then I have a whole bunch of pictures like how Kalani and Mapuana have too.
Even my current pictures, not really current, this is back from decades ago, people I used to work with. I look at the pictures now, I was like, oh, I forgot their names.
Yeah.
So it helps to write down the people's names, at least with these photos. And this day age, we have digital photos.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to use our method. Our method is the old school style, old style, whatever.
But I just want to say old school rules.
Right. So for me too, I have to visually see it. So that's why I use this method. I can't do the digital style, but some people can. So you can utilize that as well. Yeah. You don't have to use our old school method.
I do that too. But so even though I'm saving onto my share drive, the cloud, even though there's like people with my ancestor, I try to identify the other people. And so the name of the file is just long. But I don't know. I haven't found a better way to identify everybody in a photo and then save that. Not just yet, at least. But I'm sure you can be creative in this day and age. No.
Okay, let's go over some very useful sources that people can use. Of course, we have Family Search. We have Ancestry.com. A lot of information over there. We have the Chronicling America, which is the Library of Congress. Okay. They have a lot of older newspapers that you can search by state, search by date, or even by just name, whatever. A lot of different ways of getting to the newspaper. You don't actually have to have a subscription for some of them.
Oh, and the Hawaiian newspapers too, yeah?
Yeah. Papakilo, you can do a search. Ulukau is another one. Mm-hmm. Fold 3 for your military people. I'm trying to think.
Newpepa.org.
Oh, new Pippa. Yeah.
Full 3D.
You can also go on DAGS. They have some stuff too on DAGS. Or GS. The Department and General Services.
And the Kalaupapa.
There is archives. Oh, yeah. Ka'ohana.
Ka'ohana o Kalaupapa.
Ohana in Kalaupapa.
Yeah.
The archives has a website too, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there.
Oh, yeah. State Archives. That's another one.
Yeah.
State Archives is the one next to Yolani Palace, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
And then the State Library, too.
Yes. Oh, yes. If you have a library card, that's you can do wonders with just a library card and your computer. You can search a lot of stuff in the library.
Yeah.
And there's other libraries you can utilize, like the system or the BYU system.
Yes.
They all have different things in it. Different.
So for our viewers out there, why is it so important for us to do our genealogy?
To me, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you came from.
I totally.
I feel like some people search for that. I think it helps identify
What was the reason that you folks got started with it? The very first time.
Why did we get started?
Yeah.
Why did you get started, Kalani?
That's the baton.
My earpod fell out.
For me, I wasn't raised by my mother, my Hawaiian mother, and I was just interested in, finding out about my family. And it took me down a long journey. that was me, my situation.
Yeah, I think when we talked about it last time too, and then we all said it, this is our legacy and this is who we all come from, like Mapuana is saying. How do you move forward if you don't even know all the kuleana? Kuleana means responsibility that your ancestors did. And there's still so much work that still needs to be done. Oh. So even though that we're carrying on a lot of the things that they started, it just goes generation and generational. And then it's a really deep legacy. I think I got started way back, our family, both of my parents are Hawaiian. We always had discussions about things in the past and who was the ruling king of this island, what happened when Kamehameha took over, just all of these things. And that's how I started in just writing. And like how we said last time, you start with your family, your mom, your dad, your siblings. You start first there, and then you can branch out to your grandparents. Because you're going to, how much grandparents do we have? Four, yeah? Great-grandparents is 8, yeah? And great is like 16, because it starts to get bigger as you're going farther back. So the more you see back, then it's a great thing. And then like how Mapuana is saying, when we're going into the future, you're carrying all of them too, as we're going forward. It's a heavy responsibility. It's not an easy one either, because we saw like all of our tabs and our books and it's just
researching, a lot of hours of reading. Got into my genealogy because some of my family were in Kalaupapa, and then I started helping other people. Come to find out, one of my ancestors were Kokua there back in the day. So it made me feel like, oh, maybe that's why I'm inclined to help other people. That might be why I feel this way. I was so adamant about helping others. Some people say it attributes to how you are, your inner self, where you came from, your genealogy.
True. So when we're doing our Okuauhau, what kind of obstacles or challenges we face, especially for the viewers out here who are brand new to maybe looking into their own family history?
Obstacles.
Keep planning.
There's many obstacles.
So many. for Hawaiian.
Let's just start with subscriptions. Because a lot of websites, you got to pay into it just to get your information. And sometimes you pay into it and there's no information. That's an obstacle. Or sometimes the papers are only in the archives and you have to go down to get it. Or somebody from the mainland can't access the archives here on Oahu or on the islands. Some of it is not digitized. That's another obstacle. Or you just don't have all the enough information to get your answer.
Uh-huh.
Or like Kalani, some people were adopted and that information is not available on the internet.
I think Kalani has great information about that.
Oh, yes.
For people who are adopted, you should hear what Brother Kalani had to go through, because it's not an easy. It wasn't just, you go over there, I want to do this. And then all the obstacles that he had to overcome in finding out your mo'oku'ahau too, and then your real, your family.
Just the fact that when my mother told me that she was adopted, then you have to know where the adoption took place. I remember writing to the courts in Honolulu, First Circuit Court.
They
wrote back saying, are you sure your mom wasn't adopted from the mainland? I was like, why even suggesting something that seems a little bit more far-fetched based on I had already done DNA testing? And then even after that, then you find out, at least back when I did it back in 2014, 2015, they still didn't allow easy access to the adoption files yet. So we had to do this long process. Now it's a little bit easier. You can just fill out the paperwork for those who are adopted on. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you're okay, if it's like your parents, grandparents who are no longer here, then you can't.
Which is unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very unfortunate. Yeah.
If you even know that there was an adoption, a legal adoption.
Right.
And there is a way around that, right?
Not that I'm aware of. It's really good. Because even though, so it was DNA that led me to this situation, you still left. Because DNA, like I said last week, DNA is only one piece of evidence. You still have to do a lot of genealogy research.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do, I had to look at, even with using the closest DNA match and that this person's tree. So I was like, okay, this is his ancestor. So now I'm going to have to research all of their descendants and try to pick the right person who was at the right place when my mom was born and at the right time. And this person's tree, I didn't know if it was my mom's father's side or mother's side. Still a problem.
Really?
So but that from the genealogy research. And then when I figured out exactly who her parents were, then trying to access her adoption files. Oh, sorry. I did that because accessing her adoption files was taking too long. It took, 15 months total? the one I requested.
Oh, that is a long time.
I think it's a little bit faster. I don't know how long it is because of what law was passed in 2018, I want to say, 2019. So it's easier. But back then, you just still had to, you write for it, and then you get a wait. So the process before, they would go into adoption files and then contact the last known address that was listed for the biological parents. And then they send a letter saying, your child is trying to access the adoption files. Do you get permission or not? So if they're still alive and they had said no, then you cannot request until a year later again. I forget how many years it was. And then if you do it again and they say no again, then they permanently close the records.
Really?
Based on my mother's age, I knew that they probably would be no longer alive. So they hire a private investigator to research her parents. And if whatever he can find, if he can't find it, then they'll just give you access.
Oh, wow.
Pretty hard.
It was complicated. Nowadays, it's a little bit easy because of some law that was passed 2018, 2019 for Hawaii only. Not every state is so fortunate.
Yeah.
Mm.
So last week, it was brought up about the maternal side of the genealogy being important. Can you folks touch bases on that?
Okay. The genealogy. Go ahead, Keely.
we're giggling because we stayed up late last night and we were looking through some Olelo no Eau. Oh, let me show you the book. Olelo no Eau was written by Tutu Pukui, Mary Pukui, and it's a lot of Hawaiian proverbs and sayings. Oh. Can you guys see me? And this is really beneficial to just Hawaiians in general. And so one of the that I shared with Kalani and Mapuana was, okay, wait, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Go ahead, say it, brother.
I believe it was Kupuna Nanawai.
Mm. Right. And then?
If I remembered it correctly. Basically, I like to just give the translation, the loose translation. Stop bragging.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation. I don't like literal translation.
The other one is like how Jeff is saying, we all come from a woman, you know who your mom is. And so when you're looking at their genealogy compared to the Kani's genealogy, because sometimes you may not know your father, and this is even anciently. So one of the ones that we wanted to share with all of you is when Kamehameha the Great married Keopolani. Keopolani was so high. Her genealogy was so high. That's when you hear the stories that when Kamehameha went to see her, he had to take off his malo and prostrate in front of her because her genealogy was so high. So everybody always says, oh, but he was the conqueror. He was just, yes, he was. But he did follow the rules. And then Keopolani, when you look at her genealogy, is just so higher. So when you look at her mother, her grandmother, her great-grandmother, they're so high. That's how you can see where in the maternal line, that's how you can figure it out. In Hawaiian, like how we're talking about, Hawaiians have this term called po'olua, and it can mean two heads. And that's usually reserved for the dad, because like we said, we know who the mama is, right? The mama is hapai when you give birth. But in Hawaiian thought, that po'olua, so when we're talking about like Kamehameha the Great, I come from the belief, because when you do research, that Kahikili was his father, but his other father was Keoa, and Keoa never said, oh, this wasn't my son. And so the two fathers loved him and everything. So when you're doing genealogy and you're going to write Kamehameha the First, you have to put Kahikili's genealogy and Keoa's genealogy, because it's still a thing as to who the father is. There are going to be people who's probably watching who's going to say, oh no, it was just Keoa all the way. And then if you believe that, then you believe that. There's people who are going to say, oh no, it's Kahikili all the way. But the thing is, you have to put that so that you can see the two. And like I said, the mothers, even when my children, unless I was knocked out or whatever, when you gave birth, what time you gave birth, who you gave birth to. So that's why with the mothers, it's easier to just come down the maternal line. But it's when the fathers, you have to put in the blank. And if you do have a po'olua instance, and even like in Kalani's case, when you're looking at the adoption, that is a po'olua, yeah? So you have the biological mama and the biological father, the adoptive and the biological. And so that is like a Po'olua thing. And so you do take everybody's genealogy and put it down because that's where he comes from, the biological as well as the Hanai side. And I use Hanai loosely, but my tutu was like that too. My grandmother, right? She came from a Hawaiian. Her mother was pure Hawaiian. Her father's pure Irish, but she was Hanai to her first cousin. She would have called her auntie because the age difference was so big, but she was sent to Puna and was raised with her mother there. And so my grandmother, we recognize both her biological set and her Hanai set because her biological set gave birth to her. That's why she's here. That's why even I'm here. But her Hanai side is the one that raised her and did all the work for her. And that's who she called mom and dad too. So we want to just say when you're doing, the women are easier to go on. It's just the fathers you have to put in there also.
I find it a little bit more difficult, actually, not to go against you, but
oh, no.
Because they get married. And if you don't have a source of their maiden name, it's hard to figure out where.
That's why it's important for women. Oh, yeah, sorry, let's go on that, Mapuana. Women, when you're doing your genealogy, put your mother's maiden name. Don't put the husband's name because you need to see that. I think in different lines that we have too, when I teach my children too, I always say for the women, put their maiden names so that, you know, what line. And I think if you're going back anciently, you just got to go on whatever your kupuna says. So if it is, one is Kalani Akua, but her real name was Kalani Kauwe Kikilo. So if you have that name, then you have another one. If you belong to NHG SOC database is there, and then that is one of the greatest databases I think that we have that's open. And what Dean and his family have done too is they put all the names that they were called by. So there are some names I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that this person was called by that name. And so when you see it, write it down too. Don't just write. So if they have five names, write all the five names because you never know in genealogy who has what. And that's important to write down too. No, good on Mapuana because yeah, like we wouldn't know, but the Keiko'olani database is like really outstanding.
That's another good resource too.
Yeah.
Because everybody can access that.
Yeah.
And so speaking of those names, there are so many different variations. I think it's important that they do write all the names down that they find.
Absolutely.
AKAs, yes. Which leads to the next question of even, why did they change their names or why do people have different names? Same sibling, same mother and father, different name.
That one, I'm just going to say, I have no idea. So I'm not so sure. Yeah.
So many different reasons there could be for people to change their name or assume a different name.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason, actually. If you're talking about Hawaiian genealogy, there's a bunch of different reasons. Somebody with Make in their family, they're going to assume this name for 9 months because that's their mourning period. Or someone fell in love with that person, so then they're going to give them one really sweetheart name, Ku'uipo name, just for, and they assume that name for whatever reason. There's so many different reasons why people would change their name and assume different names. But Kalani did a paper on practices.
The name change when, yeah, because they had different practices for naming. And I got that from America Rena Kapui's book, Nana Ike Kumu, the first volume.
Nana Ike Kumu, volumes 1, 2, and 3. But volume 3 was written by Auntie Lynette, but volume 1 and 2 was written by Tutu Kukui. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I didn't know about volume 3, who was involved with that. But yeah, so it lists the different naming practices. And where was I going to go with this? I forget what I was going to say.
Name changes.
Wait, and we want to tell everybody to know that this is what happens when you're doing genealogy, you're reading names. And you have names and names across this way. You do go, okay, wait, which line was I on again?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have people. So I know in one instance, like my grandfather, he changed his last name from Ka'apuiki to Akana. Why exactly? I don't know, but so I was told by cousins one reason he was not, what was the nice way that they said? It was up to no good. I can't remember. Oh, he was a Rolling Stone, whatever, however you want to interpret that. But this is when he was on a big island, and then he went to Oahu, and then he's going by Akana. I did find in the paper, just before when he was known to be on Oahu, that he got arrested for stealing sake from a store.
Oh.
So I was thinking, okay, maybe this is something that he was ashamed of. I don't know. So we really don't know why these things happen. Maybe something like this happened. Maybe the family actually knows something that I don't know. And then a thing or someone that didn't know, they never passed away from this wound.
There could be many reasons why their names are changed.
And then in our genealogy, we have four brothers, full brothers, same mom, same dad. All four have all different names, and whatever name that they took as their last name, we weren't there at the time, so we don't know. But all of their descendants, like I said, same siblings, same parents, but they all carry different names. So when you're reading and when I was writing it down for them, I was like, oh, maybe Auntie Wright had this boy with somebody, her first marriage, the second boy with a second marriage. Oh no, that wasn't even it. They all come from the same parents, but they all just have different names. Another one is my 2x great-grandfather. His name is Ho'opiukeleni II because his father is Ho'opiukeleni. And Ho'opiukeleni II decided to change his name to David Alexander Kahuli. And then, hi, cousin Noeline. So my cousin Noeline and I, she said that maybe he changed it to Kahuli because he converted to Christianity. And that could be, right? That's just what we're going off on, because at that time he converted to Christianity. And then so maybe it was a turn for him. And so, right, Kahuli means to turn. And so maybe he was converting, right, from Hawaiian to Christianity. And we still don't know the real reason why, but that's just a speculation for us. That's what happened. And wait, Jeff, like how you were saying, I found it. Because I was looking. So my olelam no eao is it means an inherited container from the remote ancestress, which Tutu explains further. It's instead of the womb, the container by which the family line continues. So through the women, our family line continues. The men, though, of course, plant the seed, but then it's through us that the babies come and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just
the mother genealogy.
Yeah.
Why is it important? Yeah, that's what she's referring to.
Yes.
But yes, many different reasons why names would be changed. You got to play with the name. You got to look it up in all your different variants that you find, because you'll find different sources that'll state other facts of your ancestor when you're looking them up.
I wanted to share another one that Kamapuana just said. So my great-grandmother, I was looking for her marriage certificate. My great-grandmother's name is Ellen Nahina, and she's my 2x great-grandmother. She marries my 2x great-grandfather, Mili Ahilani Pule. I was looking, I couldn't find it for whatever reason. Whoever wrote it, they didn't write Ellen, they wrote Helen. So all this time I'm writing Ellen, Eleanor, and you're just trying to do different variations. I could not find it. And somehow I came across, it was in Ukau. I think I went on a pu'ule marriage, and I'm just trying to find whoever. And that's where I saw it. It said Helen with an H. I was like, oh, no wonder I couldn't find you. And then I copied that birth certificate and I made a copy of it and I got it. But it took me a while. And I was thinking, that's, if you're my 2x great grandparent, it should be easy access, right, for me. But that one was a hard one for me to get too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is why noting variations in the names is important.
Yes. And you should write them all down and keep track of them. Keep track of the different variants. I have an ancestor. She went through 10 different ways of writing her name or changing her name, or different documents gave me different answers. It could be just a simple, the person who translated it. They could have wrote it wrong, just shortened it because they were lazy, or whatever is the case scenario, couldn't speak Hawaiian. Those are case scenarios too that you come across. So you have to cross-reference with all the different dates and people that surround them to actually solidify your connection to this actual document or person to say, yes, this is one of my sources. Yeah. Because all the rest of the information matches, just not her name. Or just not her birth date, because birth dates are off.
Oh, that's another one too, Hawaii.
Yeah, birth dates are off. You will not find the exact same date. I don't know why. Just poor record keeping, I believe.
So whatever the record keepers at the time, right? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're a melting pot. So, you know, you got to think about different languages, the barriers that they had to overcome.
Yeah.
Because they cannot speak Chinese, so they don't know how to write Chinese. Gooming.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Remember I told you guys that one. We're the only ghouls who are called Guman because when they wrote my Chinese ancestor, his name is supposed to be Ghoul, comma, Aman. And then I guess whoever is writing, they didn't understand that. And so they wrote Guman. And so that's why we're the only ghouls that are Gumans, because whoever wrote that, like how Mapuan is saying, and you can't go back and change it because it's an official record. And so you cannot go, okay, I'm petitioning and change it back to ghoul. You can't, because that's not me coming from China and everything.
So you just accept it. You take that name and you run with it. You go. You
know, and then we tell the other ghouls, no, we are related to you guys. It's just what happened.
With those birth dates being different, I have a cousin that told me about her mother's birth date is a month off because it had to do with when it was actually registered or something. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to find out. I was like, how do I even do that? I don't know how. And I thought my brother, is my half-brother, we have different mothers. He was telling me a similar situation with his mom. She was born, or whatever the date she was actually born versus like maybe 2 weeks difference from what it was recorded as. So sometimes this might be a reason why you have a discrepancy in dates, or who knows, clerical error.
And I find that the further you go back, the worse the dates get.
Yeah. Which is expected.
And then like how Kalani and Mapuana have said too, when you're going further back, there was a time where you could have more than one wife. And so don't be so shocked when you're like, oh my gosh, look at my ancestor. He had five different women and they all had 10 children each. That's how it was. Just make the line.
The culture, Hawaiians as a culture, didn't have marriages, didn't have marriage ceremonies. They had lovers, so to speak. Or you would go to bed with that woman and either stay with her or move on.
Especially if you're high ranking. Especially if you're high ranking, because they do
you
want
that
rank.
Privilege of choosing whoever you wanted.
Let's play Kilo. No, just
Kilo, exactly. Yes.
No, just teasing. If any of you don't know, during the Makahiki season, Kilo was a game that if you did want to sleep with somebody else, that was your opportunity, because that was you. And during the Makahiki season, there was no war. And so it's just a lot of you have to pay taxes. Everybody, it's just like fun. And Hawaiians are very open. So I just want to say this too for all of our Hawaiians who are Christian. It's not that our people were promiscuous. It's just that this is how Hawaiians were. They're very comfortable with their bodies. Culture. And if you did sleep with somebody, it wasn't, oh my gosh, you're a sinner.
Shameful.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't shameful.
It wasn't shameful. And so Kilu was a game that you could play. And if you got it and you won, then you could go off and sleep with that person and then come back and then play another game. It was just wonderful.
Let's bring up Moku Umi. They played that game there, right?
Yeah.
Fort Island, Moku Umi Umi, Fort Island. Yeah. They would go to that. If they couldn't get pregnant from their significant other, they would go to that island, play Kilu, and whoever the bottle turned to, that's who they go bed with. Hopefully they get hapai, and they go back to their lover.
Another one is Molokai, right? The phallic rock, right? A lot of women, even to this day, we know cousins and women who have gone and sat on the rock and then you get hapai just like that. Even though some people are like, oh, it's just a thing and that doesn't happen. No, it does. And we also want to, let's go back to the Hawaiian one, like how Mapuana is saying. It's like how we said, it's not a shameful thing. And so it was okay. So a lot of high ranking women, when they were trying to procreate with whoever they're procreating, they had chiefs watch the whole thing, because those chiefs could say, oh no, Keopulani and Kamehameha did sleep together. They all saw everything. So if people are going to say no, like, oh my gosh, they watched it, that's so gross. That's how we had record keeping, because all the chiefs who were there would say, I was there that night when so-and-so.
And this is what happened.
Yeah. And then that's why this child who is coming now belongs only to this person. If some of them want just a specific high-ranking child, and so the women and the men, so they did do that. So that's also something that when you are reading into our history, I had a cousin who was so shocked that the Ali'i had children with their brothers, sisters and brothers had children together, and it went against her Christianity thing. And I was like, cousin, this was just how it was then.
Historically, it is good to know culturally, politically, what our ancestors were going through. in order to advance in your research, honestly. Our culture allowed us to have multiple partners during those days, right? It's good to know that. It's good to know the history if you're researching Hawaiian ancestry.
And that's why we're saying get the different pens. Because
all you white little can tablets, be green.
Right? One white can be red, right? And then that's how you know who is who and who comes from what.
Yeah.
So we have a question, and it's about the State Archives and the Bureau of Conveyance. If we can go through that, navigate that, starting with maybe the Bureau for our listeners. Right.
I like the Bureau of Conveyance because they have just these thick records, and then you have to know what you're looking for. You just go in there blind because it can be overwhelming too. I think when I first went through it, my cousin Maylene, like I got overwhelmed. You're just like, oh my gosh, because it's just books and books separated by island, by year two, Yakalani, and all of that. And so sometimes the books to me can be overwhelming, but you got to know what you're looking for. And then when we have looked on Bureau of Conveyance, you can make copies. You can go over there. They make copies for you. You can just look at it, read it for a while, understand it, and go and make copies and add that to your genealogy. And you can, I think they're open like from 7:30 to 3. 7:30 to 3, or at least like from 8 to 3.
I remember they're closing early before. I've never stepped in there. Yeah, I never stepped in there. But I know some of them, some of those records are digitized. But the at least the digitized version I saw, there's always an index.
Yes.
One
indexes are all online. So if you search them online and you get the call number, you can go in like with the archives, you can just go in with all these call numbers and they'll pull it for you. I would suggest you do that before you even go into the archives.
Oh, yes.
You can spend, I spend a lot of days.
Always, yeah.
All day there.
You walk in there, the sun is just like a nice light. And then you walking out is like ready to go down because that you can get lost in time there. Yeah.
And you can certainly go down rabbit holes too. So it's best to know what you're looking for and bring your call numbers and they can pull it for you. And and you can get what you need and not spend the whole day there.
Oh, and our people, do not be ashamed. Go and go ask. That's why the people who work there, they're helpers.
They're very helpful.
I'm just like, okay, wait, I have no idea what did. I have to go and I would ask. I asked at the archives. I asked at the bureaus only because you just don't know. And it can be so overwhelming. And don't be ashamed. Oh, I asked her 5 questions already. Oh, come with me then because I've asked. Right after
that's what they're there for.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I have another question. Yeah, and they're wonderful when they go to help too. So yeah, go and go help them. Don't be ashamed.
What about with the archives? When I used to go, just a few years ago, a lot of the stuff I can get it online now because they're digitizing more records. But back then, you could still look up. What did I look up besides naturalization? I looked up. It wasn't land deeds. What was it? My ancestry had like probate records. I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't in books. But even with that, you have to know who you're looking for not everybody will be listed in there. There's old index cards that basically mentions the newspapers, which you can find online now.
And you got to be like, let your fingers do the walking. It'll take very long if you do not know what you want.
Yeah. I think it's important, that you go in with an idea of what you're looking for, because if you go in there with nothing, there's a lot of information in there. I know when I went a few times, they really don't let you take in a lot of stuff. So there's a locker
you put your things in. You can't take in your computer. So
so you really have to have an agenda.
And then write down if you are looking for names, like how the panel is saying, make sure that you're writing it on paper because you do have to put your things in the locker. And so they're only going to allow certain things, your phone, and then you can just write and then go. And then even if things are digitized, I still remember I was going on the microfilm looking for stuff. And the microfilm too, sometimes you're like, this, oh my gosh, right? But it's something you go through too when you're looking for all of these things that we're looking for. Yeah. So I just want to tell everybody,
use the indexes online and get your call numbers first before you go in there. If not, you can ask the people to help you. They're very helpful.
Don't be ashamed. And then, like I said, just have a lot of patience because doing genealogy, You have to do a lot of work.
It takes a long time.
Sometimes you may have an open and you might find 5 documents for one person. It's yes, you got to go home because they're closing. You come back the next day, you don't see nothing. And then you're like, I just looked the other day. But sometimes that happens too. So just have a lot of patience with it because you do have a lot of work you have to do. You have to look up things. You have to understand the Hawaiian too. And if you see your family's name, you don't know Hawaiian, take a picture of it, and then we can always try or ask somebody to help you translate, like how Mapuana, Kalani, and Jeff were saying too. Yeah, because some things are just only in Hawaiian, and unfortunately, not all of us are just versed in Hawaiian. But if you see your ancestor's name, take a picture, chink, and then we can,
In the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society, we have quite a few people who speak Hawaiian fluently or can read and write. So just ask.
But remember too, when you're looking at older Hawaiian, sometimes we might not find it in the dictionary now. Just understand that. Yeah. So Hawaiian that was spoken then and Hawaiian now is very different. So Nihau is Nihau and family is probably the closest to our ancestors and how they spoke and everything. Yeah.
So speaking of the records, can we touch base on the LDS church records as well? Because I think it is one of the most important resource, and it's free to people to just go online.
Absolutely. I want to just say, though, that don't believe everything you see online. Sometimes you have people who worked on their lines, but it isn't exactly 100% correct. It's good to keep in the back of your mind, and then moving forward, you can cross-reference or just make sure that they were on the right track. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're totally wrong, but sometimes there are some wrong input over there.
Mm-hmm.
LDS has great records, great resources, all in their library. And yes, it's free. And that's what you want, free.
I think it's important that everybody understand there's a difference between what type of records they have versus their collaborative trees where anybody can just upload information or edit information on the trees of the family.
Yeah. So you want to talk about that, Kalani?
It used to be you could just submit your own. That was how it was done before. I submitted my family through the Family History Center. And then now they made it collaborative where anybody and anyone can edit. But it usually leaves a digital trail. And then when you do make a change, if I get rid
of it, you have to say why and who changed it. Yeah.
Not everybody will do
it. You have to have evidence too, yeah?
Yeah.
You have to show your evidence too, yeah?
You have to show why you made that change or verbally say why you made that change.
I've seen comments saying, it's because it's correct.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay. That's fine. Go with it, I guess.
So with the LDS Church, it is true, like how everybody is saying, they do have great records. I just want to point out too, if you are doing and you talk to your family and your family has certain names or dates, and then you look at the LDS Church records, please do not throw away your family stuff because it has documentation on the LDS stuff. So just keep all your records because you need proof. And then like how Mapuana is saying, not everything that was written in the LDS Church is Pololei either. In one of our family, her grandmother, so the thing that they're talking about that you can edit, somebody who doesn't know the history went and edited it and took out my cousin, their whole genealogy thing. She called the church, but they put it all back and then they wrote a thing. But the whole point was they took it out without really discussing it. That part was like, wow. And if your family has a different name than what the LDS records has, just that doesn't mean that your family is wrong and the church is right either. Yeah, just keep both so you know. And remember what we said, Hawaiians went by many names too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So always keep that in the back of your mind too.
That I'm Hawaiians a full had paper a lot trail of- person, so I won't put anything on my line unless I have a paper trail.
Same here.
If I don't have a document stating so, I won't put it on my line. I'm just that person.
But I keep it as notes.
Their own ways.
I keep it in case.
Absolutely. You keep it all.
Yeah, keep everything. That's another thing you're going to have. That's why you got to get the plastic sheets because you're going to have so many.
I have plastic sheets.
I want to show them.
Plastic sheets, very useful.
This is a genealogy thing.
Put all your documents inside and your binder.
Yeah.
Add it to your binder. Always have plastic sheets on hand.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Mormon Church, it's free to their account. But Bonnie, what were we talking about? Is it now you have to be a member?
No. It's a free account. You have to create an account.
Yeah.
But there are certain restrictions with
some documents. Some documents correct. Are restricted to the churches. So you have to sometimes go
you
in.
Have to go to the center. Yeah. Or if you're an LDS member, you can easily do it online. But you might have to go into the Family History Center to look at the record.
Right.
Some of the Hawaii ones are like that. And you can tell if you're doing it online at home versus, and you try to click it and it says you don't have access, you can see it at the Family History Center. And I wanted to mention, because it was, what was it, Jeff, that you said? Obstacles. Not only is the language might be a barrier, but they also have the delayed birth certificates.
Yeah.
But not all of them are translated from shorthand.
Yeah.
You know shorthand?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I have several. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes you need to learn new traits. Yeah. You need to learn shorthand, obviously, to do some of the probates and the delayed birth certificates. Yeah, like
that. Oh, mahalo for saying that. Yes.
And it sucks when you don't know. Because I had one that was translated, and then a couple of relatives that it's not translated.
Yeah. But I kept mine too because I got to have somebody translate it. So I'm not too sure who can do that or when they can do that.
I tried to learn, but no.
So keeping on, I know we have a few minutes left. I just want to touch bases because we're talking about records. Can we touch bases on the Great Mahele and the Kualiana Land Awards?
The expert laughing.
I know it's a topic on its own, but we should briefly go over because I know there's viewers out there who want to know.
Mahele was in
episode 3.
Yeah, the third. I know that could be a whole episode.
Yeah,
some say that the king was persuaded to do, and some say differently. But in any case, land from the mountain to the sea was Ma'ali'i. And Maka'imanas would work the land for that. It was portioned out. Yeah, lands. Land was portioned for, I'm trying to think how many, 250, I think, chiefs there were. 250? I can't remember exactly, but somewhere around there. And the king gave them all land. And Maka'imana lived on the land. What else do we want to know?
Going on that real quick. Just so you understand too, Hawaiians, they don't have that concept of owning the land, yeah? So when this came out too, it's a new concept to them to come and claim land because we never had to do that ever. But the king, I feel like Kauikeaouli tried to do a good thing with that, but in a way it backfired because then other people, because Hawaiians weren't coming to claim their land and everything because how do you claim it, right? We don't own the ocean. We don't own the air. We don't own the earth. So how do you do that? And so Hawaiians didn't. There are some Hawaiians who did. But majority of them didn't. And Kauikeaouli, King Kamehameha III, wanted to make sure that our people had land. And okay, go ahead. Sorry, I just had to jump in and say that.
To my understanding, there was problems as well with the system that they created. So the chief would own or watch over this piece of land, and the Maka'ainana would work the land. But let's just say Kaneohe never gave Kailua wood, and then they couldn't cook their food and stay warm. You know what I'm saying? Because each land had different things. Some had kalo patches, so they would share with each other. But when one didn't put out, then the other one would suffer, right?
Oh, and we're talking about Ahupua'a, like the mountain.
No,
the
we're talking about the Great Mahele, the pieces of land that were given to these chiefs. And the Maka'ainana who would work on, and so it was the chief, then the Maka'ainana who would be in those little parcels, right?
But then it gets even more complicated to what Mapuana is talking about. Are we going with Oni Kamehameha this time when he conquers all the islands, or are we going?
So a great type of could be a big topic.
Yeah. So the chiefs before Kamehameha conquered, the chiefs who lived on each island, they owned their own land. Once Kamehameha came and took over, then he puts in his people. And then but then the question comes, right? If Mapuana's ancestor was there with the original all like an Oahu chief, a Kamehameha comes in and takes over and puts in his chiefs, then whose land is it really? So then the Kamehameha chief is going to say it's our descendants, but she...
And you're talking about years of people debating whose land is whose. Yeah. But in any case, Waihona is a great resource of finding out who lived on what land, and whether it be a chief or a Makainana, you can get information on that through Waihona. And they do cost money to get the full document, but they will show you a brief. You don't pay for it. They'll show you a brief description. Goodness, I
can't remember that word.
Yeah, of it. And what general area it was. If you just type in the name that you're looking for, type in your ancestor's name.
Oh,
okay.
I have relative involved with Mahele and then also Land Commission Awards, the Royal Patents, but I don't know enough to chime in with. But yeah, so my ancestor, he was listed on the Mahele. And then I know he had a will about who that mentioned what each of his children would have. And then later I found a Land Commission Award with one of his daughters claiming that land that wasn't supposed to go to her until after her brother had it first. So I'm still trying to comprehend all of this, but that's about it. So I cannot really comment anymore. Sorry.
For those of you who want to know, so for myself, our family was fortunate because our tutu claimed land. He told who his name was, who his wife, his kids, all of that. We were one of maybe only two families in the entire area that knew our genealogy all the way to him. Currently, the family is still living on that land, and it connects to genealogy because if you know who your tutu is and you can trace it back to the original land claimant and you are a lineal descent, you have every right to get that land back if that is truly in your family. That is something that I think is important. I know right now with everyone, with the battle going on the Big Island and Maui and Kauai, with people coming in and just trying to take all the land away. But when you're facing with Kuleana land, it's a little different. It's not just land that you can just take, especially if you have lineal descendants living. And if they come forward and they can prove that they are, then they're in for a court battle is what it is. But I think it's really important
that there was a cultural practice on that land. Mm. You also have, say, because cultural practicing is a thing.
Yeah, correct. So,
but okay, other sources that we want to tell you to check out.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kiwi.
No, I was just going to say, going back to what Jeff is saying, you can find that too at the Bureau of Conveyance, like land. It'll say that this was given to so-and-so or so-and-so bought it from so-and-so. There's some of those too that you can see at the Bureau of Conveyance too. Those documents. Oh.
And do know that the roads were different back then. Just because say Nu'uana Street doesn't mean what we see Nu'uana Street today. They were different. So if you're trying to look, this is their piece of land and it was located over here. You really got to know the coordinates.
Right.
To actually figure it out because the streets are different. Okay. Yeah. Sources again.
Go ahead.
What was that? I missed that one. I'm sorry. Okay. Clinton Kanahele. That's after they would come play showing.
That's what, land. Oh, kind of, yes, yeah. Yeah. With Jeff's family.
That's what Jeff was saying.
Yeah.
Clinton Kanahele did a bunch of oral interviews with Kanaka Maoli, and I don't think there was any rhyme or reason, but they're really good interviews, like biographies. You should check those out. You could find your ancestors there. Also wanted to mention Kumupono Associates, Kepa and Onaona Mali. They have years and years of a collection of oral interviews for specific areas across the island. Really good stuff. That's where I found a lot of my answers was through Kumupono Associates. Men of Hawaii, Men and Women of Hawaii, Men of Hawaii. There's 5 volumes of biographies there. And these books are online. I think Google Books, they have the digital version of it, or you can get the hard copy at your library. I think it's at the libraries. But what else we wanted to? Fragments of Genealogy, Mary Pukui. What is the other one you were talking about, Kate?
John Papa'i'i. Fragments of Hawaiian History. John Papa'i'i was during the time of Kamehameha II. He was a playmate to Liho, and he was around Kamehameha. he was around during a lot of the things that Hawaiians were doing at the time that we don't even do practices anymore. And he was there with the different wives and everything, knew which wives was who with Kamehameha and how Kamehameha was too. And so that's also a really great one. And also to go on what Mapuana is saying, the men and women of Hawaii, there's also a book called, remember the Words of Wisdom? And a lot of that is, they just interviewed kupuna.
People,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and this is really outstanding. And then there's a, what is that other one besides the Words of Wisdom? Is it Na'o'iwi? Remember they have the volumes and then they interviewed a lot of kupuna and that's another one too. And if you see, like when you're reading these stories, like how Makuana, Jeff and Kalani are saying, if you know you're like, if you know your family is down EA side, or decide, and you see this kupuna there, you could always, that's how you can get that lead too into your family too. Yeah, by that. And talk to, like Mapuana said last time, Kalani said last time too, I said last time too, talk to, especially the kuna, our elders, yeah, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. And if you're lucky to still have them around, please talk to them and get their mana out. They're the ones who have it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if they don't tell you everything, yeah, there's clues there. There's clues there.
Call the source, the older generation.
Yeah.
They're the source. They're the main source. And they may only give you one word. Yes, we lived in over here. But that's how you...
Oh, you do we want to touch... Do we want to touch on the bad things that we come across? Or
oh, yeah, go ahead.
Or the...
Sure.
We have time.
Why don't you go ahead, Jeff? Go tell us what
that was. Kalani, I know you have...
Yeah, I mean, bad stuff. Not, I don't know if it's really bad stuff. That was because of, actually, no, it's not just DNA, but through genealogy research, sometimes you find people that you never knew about, family line, right? And it happens.
Yes.
So just be prepared.
Yep, just exactly.
Just be prepared for the for, what?
Yeah.
We have expectations.
Oh my goodness, check this out.
Wait, I thought that was.
Yeah.
And don't be like, why did you guys keep it a secret? There's a reason that we don't know why. And
during those times too, like in my case scenario, my family was very Catholic on one side. So secrets were kept. Come to find out, they were all taxi dancers.
Yeah. So you just have to understand the culture too. You got to understand, especially for Hawaiian culture, you have to understand. You cannot just be like, oh my gosh. So like when we're talking about playing that kilo game in Makahiki season, of course, that's a very ancient thing. But you know, it happened. That was part of our culture. And so it's a great thing.
There is a reason why they happened too, though.
Yeah.
We were stopped. And
there was reasons why they became taxi dancers.
Oh, and this is maybe not like bad, but just a precaution to everybody when you're doing genealogy, don't always share it too with just everybody. There are some people out there who do steal genealogies and take your genealogy and try to put it with theirs, and then they try to make it their own and to say, oh no, I got this document or from, and it could just be all your work. So just know that unfortunately, for whatever their reasons too, that we have that. And when you're doing genealogy, it's a great thing, but you do also have that. Because Hawaiians have married so much now and it's different, I know of one lady who calls up, especially reunions, and she'll say she's a family member because the families are so huge now. You don't know who is. You don't know who everybody's married.
This is a small community. No name is needed. I already know.
Message me because I know who you're talking about.
So she goes and she requests that. So one day I had asked her why she's doing that, because that's Heva. That's somebody, that's their ancestors, yeah? And unless you're married into the family. And she said it was given to her that her kuleana is to take everybody's genealogy and hold it. And I said, that's not your kuleana. Everybody has their own kuleana to
to give her mine.
Yeah. And so I called all of our ohana who is doing the genealogy books. I said, if this person calls and said they're related, they're not, do not give her any books. And one of the olelo no'iaos in here says family names. It's our family names. And so Mapuana what I'm saying is, if Mapuana is my cousin and I wanted to name my daughter Mapuana after her, that's, you go and you ask permission. But you don't take other people's genealogy, look through it, and then be like, oh, look at this name. This is a cool name. And then try to name your children or your great-grandchildren.
That. Yeah, because there are consequences to
yes.
that.
So there's a lot of things with Hawaiian genealogy. Names are very important. Hawaiians, how we talked, what we named our children. So Jeff's name too, I'm guessing Kalani's name, my name. It's not, you just don't do that. And I told my children this, and I don't know how everybody else feels about it. I told my children, one of you guys are going to have to take over. I don't know who, but still yet, I don't know out of my three children. The other thing is because I told them, you cannot expect other people to carry our ancestors. They have to carry their ancestors.
Yeah.
So what this person is doing, she's taking everybody's books and it's almost hostage. Yeah, you're taking hostage of these ancestors because now she's saying, now the family got to go to her to get the book
to get the answers.
Oh no. Oh no. And
we have one like that. In
yes, Jeff. It lines. Is. Jeff. I pull a link.
I should say I really had a run-in with that person years ago at one of our reunions. But anyway, just know that for me personally, I treat our genealogy as kapu. Whenever I'm sharing with the family, I make sure that you look, I'm sharing it because your family is not to be shared and talked about with anybody, especially when it comes to the names, because they're very sacred.
Yeah.
Like everyone was saying on here, it's really important if you're going to do your genealogy, one, take it serious.
Yeah.
Two, you can have fun. Three, a lot of pulling and prayer goes into it. You don't just go and look for a name. Sometimes people will be looking for a name for 40 years. I had one kupuna ask me, how did you find it? And I told her, I asked. I go, it wasn't meant for you. It's meant for me. And I didn't mean it in a bad way, but that's just how it is. We know
that's
that. We know that there's things happening on the other side of the veil, the other side of whatever you want to call that, whatever, if you're a part of the church, Christian, whatnot. I go, let me remind the audience that our people was very spiritual before the missionaries came. So they were not stupid. They were not lazy. They were very Akamai. They knew what they had. Everything was oral. So you had to remember everything. 2,000 lines for the Kumulipo, can you imagine memorizing all of that?
I read that they used to wake up in the morning, recite it. And before they went to sleep, they recited it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They recited it all day. That's their main mission was to just get that genealogy down. Yeah. So that being said, yeah, there's a lot of genealogies that are chanted that you need to know the olelo just to figure it out.
Yeah. And then like how Mapuana is saying that you're trained to do that. And so if you're chanting a chief's genealogy, you get it wrong where you say, oh, Kalamai, let me go back a few lines. Yeah. You have to know it.
Back up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. And our chiefs, they're linked to the Akua. Akua is our gods, right? They're linked to the Kalani, Nalani, which is the heaven or the heavens, all of that plays a big part in it. And I think when people do this kind of thing, you're an emotional hostage and try to do this, it's just really not polole. And like how Jeff said, his name in his family, that's kapu. Yeah. Kalani's family, kapu, mapubu, kapu. So it's even if Jeff in his family, he has the name Kalani, people can be like, oh, it's just Kalani. No, it's not just Kalani. It's a meaning. And in my family too, whatever they say the meaning is in the name, that's what the meaning is. One of my cousins, she's named after a tutu. And she was like, oh no, that's not the meaning. And she went to Pukui to look it up. And I was like, no, you kind of go with what our ancestors said. And she said, no. So that's heva on her part. But what I'm saying is if Jeff has a Kalani, his ancestor's name is Kalani. It just doesn't mean Kalani. It's whatever their family is saying that means, which it could mean the heavenly glow of the heaven, right? But they're just calling him Kalani, but that's what it means. A good example is Keanu Reeves when he was first making it big and stuff. This girl, I think she was Hawaiian too. She did an interview with him and she asked him what his name was. And Keanu Reeves always says, oh, my name means the cool breeze that goes up the mountains. So when this girl wrote it, she said, oh no, Keanu just means Keanu, look it up in Pukui. But when I read that, I was so surprised because I said, no, that's what his family said his name means. So yeah, when you read, Keanu does mean cool, right? And all of that kind of stuff. But if his family said his name means the cool breeze that goes up the mountain, that's exactly what
it means.
Yes.
It came from the uncle or the dad's uncle. people.
Don't just be like, oh no, Pukui said this, because I know Tutu Pukui would be looking at you like, because you have to do that. And like how Jeff and Kalani said earlier, you know, that book, Nana Ikekumo, there's so many, so great things, but there's so many different naming, right? Inoa pole names are dream names that you have at night. But if you're going to get an ancestor name and all that, there's so many different ways of naming. I think like how Mapuana said, Queen Emma, I think she took the name, what, Lele Onalani or something, because it showed when she was mourning her husband, which is King Kamehameha IV, and her son who had passed. So she goes by that name too, because it talks about the two of them passing away and leaving her, and these names mean something for all of that. So that's one of the bad things I just want to say, is if you have people who are trying to take your genealogy or take a part of it or attach it to theirs, or if they're asking you, oh, can I see your genealogy books? So you have to really be careful. Just be really careful about that. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say, when the viewers out there, when you're doing your genealogy, and you're writing your tutu's names down, or names, and you say their names, they live again. They are not just names. They are not just birth dates and death dates. There is more to them than just that. They lived once. It's so important to know their history. What did they do? Who were they?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of kind of doing it. We're not just doing it because we want to know, oh, they was born here and died here. That's it. No.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that they understand that part, and just keep that in the back of your mind when you're doing your researches and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's something that it's all about your family, right? Isn't that what it is? Comes down to it, family.
They come in. I definitely walking in their shoes, following mm-hmm. their path. It gives you a glimpse of the hardships and the things that they had to go through. Just awesomeness. Mm-hmm. Some of them were really great, and some of them were. Wow, just the things.
And you even have the bad ones too. You even have the
bad ones. You have the bad ones who got arrested for this and that and this.
Yeah. And then even in our history too, on Oahu, Haka was a chief here, and he was from the senior line, but he was an awful chief. And so they got him out, and then they put Ma'ili Kukahi in, and Ma'ili Kukahi is from the junior line, but Ma'ili Kukahi turned out to be such a great chief for Oahu. And then his line is the line, he becomes a senior line, and then his line is the line that is Oahu until Kakuihewa. And so it's almost the same like Umi and Hakau. Hakau is higher than Umi, but he wasn't a great chief like how Umi was a really great chief on Hawaii Island, for Hawaii Island.
I think we should probably wrap it up because it's already over an hour.
As usual. I told you forever.
Each of you, can you leave us with a closing, something you feel is important, anything you want to say in closing so we can close this and then we'll probably have another session?
Okay.
Kalani, you've been quiet over there.
Yeah, he's tired.
2 hours of sleep. Because we were messaging each other early in the morning.
Yeah.
So, let them answer first.
We have good fun, though. Okay, closing comment.
Something that you think is important that the viewers should know. Maybe one or two things. You can keep it brief or whatever touches you.
I'd like to say that genealogy research can take years.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it can take years. It's been years since I started my research. I think don't give up, because every day, digitally, things are getting uploaded.
Yeah.
More and more records are being discovered, archived. So continuous looking, you'll find your answer. You'll find your answer. Kalani?
It was... What about it? I mean, you guys were talking and then now I just...
14.
You're lucky we never start talking about DNA.
I really would have got you.
With the whole naming thing, and I call it stealing someone's mana, stealing by taking people's genealogy. I'm like, just do your best to do your own work and don't be so quick to. Yes, all of these online trees are useful, but still, you can just use it as a guide and then document your own line and don't just rely on everybody's information. It may or may not be accurate.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lee.
Paper trails are good.
Yes. All of that. I'll leave you with I think I'll just leave you with this one. This is from Olelo Noel. It's page 24, number 196. It's Aohe Oi no Ko'uhalau. Why do you presume to know who my ancestors are? So I'm leaving that with all of you, only to say it's like how everybody is saying, when you do your work and you know who your ancestors are, then you don't have to listen to when other people are saying, oh no, but so and he married so. If you do it and you know it, then it's polole. So if other people are saying, oh, but your ancestor did this and this, how do they know? They're not even in your family. Yeah, they're not even in the tree. Like it said, why do you presume to know who my ancestors are? And if we're doing it and we're carrying it for them and for, because we're actually doing all of this too, it's for the children who are not born yet. Because we got to pass this on to somebody too when we hala, when we pass away. Mm-hmm. And then who is going to do the work? Like how Mapuana is saying, it takes years because it never ends. It doesn't finish. It keeps continuing. Every baby that's born, that's a new stamp for us. It's a new line for us. It's a new lineage. It's a new line. Yeah. So just what everybody is talking about. Do your own work. And then maika'i. And lots of patience. Lots of patience.
Yeah.
Lots of patience.
Lots of patience. You have anything? What?
No, honestly, I lost my AirPod again.
Oh, okay.
I'm just hoping my dog is not
going to
eat it.
With that being said, I wanted to just thank everybody who's on here. Mahalo viewers. If you guys have questions, hit us up. We're all part of the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society on Facebook. If you want to know, if you need to contact us, just hit us up and then we'll get a hold of you with any questions you have. And until then, till the next time, aloha.
Aloha. Malama.
So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If he won't tell it, we will. If this the land of the free, was a freedom then. When they annexed Hawaii and called it Sea to Lands, without any type of payment and no signing off, called themselves a republic in 1894. 1.2 million acres overtaken from the native Hawaiians. When they resisted, the West retaliated in violence and erasure. The Hawaiian language was banned as part of colonialism's plan to expand. Yeah. Stuck between a rock and a hard place. Multiple bombings of Koholave. As a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation. Colonizers call for annexation. No work for all the locals. School will never let you know. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. We will.
So if you put Hawaii in a perspective, well, black and Asian history is interconnected. Considering the fight with the Pacific, then of course, versus Asia, they was treated as a middleman for war. But didn't let the Western colorism run its course. Cause dark skin was a sign of dignity to core. The land was taken in the name of capitalism. When prior to it was an actual kingdom, clap back at the system.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place. Multiple bombings of Koholave. As a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation. Colonizers call for annexation. Never cover all the locals. School will never let you know. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If we won't tell it, we will. We will. Thank you.
Hey.
Got my AirPods.